name is Dickie Hardy. And the reason I want to tell you this story is just to show how a girl, even an ordinary girl like my sister Frances, can get us men into a pack of trouble.
Now, with Sammy Ogg as Dickie, we bring you transcribed Don Yarrell's charming story, The Smoking Out of Lexington Vale.
My name's Dean Hardy, but I get called Dickie all the time by most everybody. I want to tell you about my pal, George Bannon, and my sister Frances, and another guy called Lexington Vale. There's a lot of love stuff and all that in this story, but I'm just going to tell you the interesting part about the badger and the ghost town. Now, George Bannon is older than me, a man. I'm only 12. But what I like about George is he always treats me like I'm older, man to man. That's because him and me have a lot in common. We're both interested in fishing and hunting and trapping and that stuff. Whenever anything interesting happens, George always tells me first. Like when he saw that badger.
Yeah, he's there right enough.
A badger, huh?
Yeah, better than a yard long, I'd say.
Including his tail?
Near 4 feet, maybe, from the tip of his snout to the end of his tail.
Gee, you saw him then?
Well, no, not exactly.
Oh.
But I know where he buried himself.
Buried himself?
Yeah. That's the way with badgers, Dickie. You can't just go out and shoot them the way you can a coon. The first thing you got to do is smoke them out.
Is that what we're going to do, George?
Well, I reckon we might. If you want to, that is.
If I want to? Boy, when can we go tomorrow?
Don't see why not, unless your pa wants you to help in the store.
Well, I can get away.
Tomorrow afternoon, then. And bring your gun, too. That's mighty bad snake country up there where he's at.
Okay. Gee, a badger.
Oh.
What's the matter, George?
Oh. Your sister Frances, I hear her in the kitchen with your ma.
Is she still scaring you, George?
I reckon.
I can't understand how it should happen to a man like you, George, to find a girl scary, especially my sister.
Well...
But if I did, I wouldn't jump near out of my skin every time I seen or heard her around. Supposing I was you, George, I'd just ask her straight out to marry me and get it all over.
Why, she wouldn't have me. I know that.
Who said so? As far as I can see, you'd be a great catch for this family, George. Tain't everyone who's got a good eye with a gun and knows about bucktails and mudsuckers and catching catfish with dough balls and about badgers and wood carving and...
Quiet.
And about...
Quiet. She's coming out.
Dean Hardy, look at you, sitting in your Levi's with all your dirt on and company coming to dinner in less than half an hour.
Do I have to get changed?
Yes, you do, and right now.
Well, we was talking about a badger George knows of, sis.
Well, that's nice. Now, you just
about
get in.
About 4 yards long, George said.
Don't exaggerate, Dean Hardy. It couldn't be. Now, come inside and get yourself fixed up at once. You too, George. You'll have to change. If you aim to come to dinner, that is.
I was waiting to be asked, Frances.
Then put your suit on, George, and a collar, and get yourself shaved. And Dean, come in the house and get yourself cleaned up this minute.
Gosh, you think it was the president coming?
Yeah. Who is this fella anyway?
He's from Denver. He knows all about oil. A geographist.
Uh-huh. A geologist.
Pa thinks maybe there's oil on that bit of land he owns up near the pass.
So he gets to come to dinner?
It's a big thing for us. You coming, George?
Sure, I'll come. I'll see you at dinner, Dickie.
Yeah. Sure does seem a waste, though, putting on church clothes just for some two-bit geographer. I never saw such a fuss as they was all making. Ma and Pa and Sis. First of all, they was all dressed up like it was Thanksgiving. Ma was in her black and Pa in his creaky old boots. And you couldn't sit down for fear of messing up the chair cushions. We was all standing around waiting when George's jalopy came over the rise.
Can't think why you had to ask George over tonight, Frances.
Why not, Pa?
Well...
Now, Jim, George is Frances and Dickie's friend. He knows how to behave himself when occasion demands.
I dare say, Ma. I've got nothing in the world against him. Except he's lazy enough and won't work.
Well, if you don't have to, why should he?
Well, I won't argue it, Francis. Anyways, he'll grow out of it. It ain't natural in a man not to want to work.
That's him now. I'll let him in.
Evening, ma'am.
Come on in, George. My, but you... You put your suit on.
You look fine, George. Come on in and sit down.
Little drink, George?
Yeah, I don't mind. Might ease me up inside. Hello, Dickie.
Hello, George.
Hey, George. Did you know they ain't wearing them rounded peak collars no more?
Oh? Is that so, Mr. Hardy?
No. Appears like they're all going in for the pointed kind now. Here you are.
Thanks. Well, that's interesting. But I ain't got but the one collar, so don't reckon it makes much difference to me.
Well, George, you haven't said how I look.
No, I ain't said. But I was thinking. You look mighty pretty. I'll say that.
Well, thank you.
But ain't you afraid that their dress is going to fall right off of it?
Well, it's the fashion.
Oh. Well, if it was me in that thing, I'd be scared.
I hope Mr. Vail's not going to be late. That bird's overdone as it is.
I'll go. Mr. Lexington Vail?
That's right.
I'm Frances Hardy. Mr. Vail, come on in.
Thanks.
This is my mother.
How do you do?
How do you do?
And this is my father, Mrs. Vail.
Gee, some dude, huh, George?
He's darn handsome.
Yeah, I suppose he is. Dinner was terrible. I was ashamed of my family. They bent over backwards to make an impression on this Lexington Vail. Especially Francis. Lexington Vail was smiling all the time, all teeth, and saying how nice everything was. Me and George got pretty sick of it. I don't mind telling you. We sneaked off as soon as we could after dinner, out on the porch.
Them city fellas is all alike. Just manners, that's all.
Maybe. Francis seemed to like him.
You reckon? Yeah, Dickie.
Hmm?
You ain't forgotten about our badger.
No, I ain't forgotten.
You don't sound fired up like you was.
Who, me? Sure.
Good. You reckon Francis was taken with this fella, huh?
Yeah, some. You know, George, maybe badgers ain't all there is to hunt hereabouts. I didn't see much of George the next few days. He just didn't come around. I knew what was wrong, of course. He knew this Lexington Vail was calling on Francis, and George didn't want her to see this made any difference to him. Well, the family was still treating Mr. Vail like a duke or something, and I knew why. I heard him talking like my father.
Of course, it would just be a pilot operation, Mr. Hardy, but it looks to me like the place for it is right on your land. The shale is rich there, and the spot's convenient, too.
Uh-huh.
I'll get the necessary equipment out from Denver, and we can start operations the first of the week.
You think anything will come of it, Lex?
Well, it's early to tell.
Well, I've done without being a rich man up to now. But I guess I could stand it if you was to make me a millionaire.
Yes, well, we'll see what can be done.
The first of the week came and went. Nothing was done about that pilot operation Mr. Vail talked about. But he didn't waste any time in either direction. He took Frances for long drives in his car. She spent evenings listening to his stories about the big city, and hours saying goodnight to him on the back porch. And then one evening when Pa had taken Mom into town to the movies, and Frances was upstairs getting herself ready to go out with Mr. Vail, she sent me into the living room to talk to him.
Oh. Hello, Dean.
Most everybody calls me Dickie.
Dickie, then.
Sis will be down in a few minutes.
Fine.
Say, Mr. Vale, you do much hunting?
Hunting? No. No, can't say that's much in my line.
Fishing, maybe?
No. I grew out of fishing when I was 7 or 8.
You grew out of it?
Mm-hmm. You say Francis was nearly ready?
Nearly. Say, Mr. Vale, you want to see my gun?
Gun?
It's one of my pa's old guns. I got it for my 11th birthday.
Isn't that a bit young to have a gun?
Well, not if you know how to handle it.
Well, I guess I don't know the first thing about them.
Oh. You want to look at it?
Dickie, you want to go and see if your sister's ready yet?
Okay, I'll go see.
Operator.
Then I heard Mr. Vale place a call on the phone. He was calling long distance.
Prescott, 77.
I didn't mean to listen, but just outside the door like that, I couldn't help overhearing.
Vale. Yeah. I thought I'd just check in. Huh? No, I'm calling from this girl's place. She's upstairs right now and... Oh, nothing. Not worth bothering about anyway. Oh, there might be a little oil up near the pass, a few barrels. I pitched them a yarn about it just to keep them happy. Besides, this daughter of theirs is going to keep me very happy while I'm down here. Yeah, yes, I might as well enjoy my leisure hours. Look, I won't be back before the end of the week, if my social life goes as well as I hope. Oh, man, you should just see her. Yeah, the end of the week. I expect I'll have had enough by then. Okay, I will. Yeah, you be careful, too. So long.
Then I know I'd been right, all along. Ma and Pa and Sis had been wrong. First off, I felt like going to them, telling them what I'd heard. But I knew it wouldn't work. They wouldn't believe me. They'd just think I'd taken a hate against him for no reason. I had to do something. Something that would show him up for what he was and prove it. But what? What could a kid like me do? I decided to see George. We'd think of something somehow to smoke out that old Lexington Vale.
We will return to romance and our story, The Smoking Out of Lexington Vale, in just a moment. Tonight again, Peter Potter brings on his jukebox jury of stars, including Gene Nelson, Anna Maria Albaghetti, Paul Gilbert, and dancer Vera Ellen, to judge this week's hits and misses. On most of these stations tonight, hear CBS Radio's Jukebox Jury at Work. They're a pleasure. And now for the second act of Romance.
If I'd been a man, it would have been different. They would have listened to me. Or I could have faced Mr. Vale and told him to go and let my sister alone. Knock him down even if he tried to be funny about it. But I'm not a man. I'm only 12. So I went to see George. He was leaning on the gate at the bottom of his yard, whittling a stick with the shavings all scattered around his feet.
Hi, Dickie.
What you doing?
Oh, nothing.
Guess you can listen, then.
Well, if you want to talk.
Mr. Vale says he's staying over. Says he's fixing to scratch for oil out to my pa's land.
Yeah, I heard.
But it ain't so, George. He's lying.
He's lying?
Yeah, heard him tell it over the phone. There ain't no oil. You know why he's staying? He's sweet on Francis.
Okay.
You're just going to stand there whittling that fool stick and do nothing?
Ooh, what's there to do?
George!
Dickie, one of the first things you ought to learn is to stick with what you know and not to meddle with things you don't know nothing about.
Okay. What am I supposed to know about?
Well, you know how to cast a wet fly. Reckon you can shoot pretty straight. I've seen you light a fire in the pouring rain, and I reckon you can handle a canoe well enough. You see what I mean?
Them's all man things, George. Why shouldn't I know about a dirty deal when I see one?
No, that's different is all.
George?
Hmm?
Remember that badger?
Yeah, I ain't forgotten.
How big you say it was?
Near 4 feet.
How would you like to smoke out a bigger badger?
Well, they don't come bigger.
I know where there's one 6 feet long from the tip of his snout to the end of his tail.
Oh, now...
He's got two legs and wears a pinstripe suit.
What?
Listen, George, we're going to smoke out that old Mr. Vail, and I know just how we can do it.
You mean get rid of him?
Yeah.
Oh, you'd get into bad trouble, and he'd get all the sympathy.
No, he wouldn't, because we do it my way, a kid's way, sticking by what I know. I wouldn't get into trouble, and neither would you.
Me?
We're going to prove just what a phony he really is.
Why, you got a plan?
Sure.
Well, all right. Let's hear it.
George listened. He grunted a lot at first, but in the end, he agreed to my plan. The next day, I knew Sis and Mr. Vail were going out for a drive and a picnic to a place called Aplata. This is where a lot of silvering was done once. But now Aplata is a ghost town, with empty streets and tumble-down buildings. It was part of my plan.
Well, we'll be ready to go as soon as we pack the sandwiches, Les.
I'm glad you're going to see Aplata, Mr. Vail. It's one of my favorite places.
Would you like to come along, Dean?
Francis.
Oh, no, I go out there all the time. I've seen everything there.
I suppose you have.
Don't forget to go to Flanagan's, Sis.
Flanagan's Hotel, Lex. That's the town's most famous landmark.
Dean, Dickie, haven't you anything to do?
Okay, I'm going.
This road's in terrible condition. We could have walked out here more easily.
We're coming into Aplata now. It's not far now. Drive down the main street.
There are others?
Oh, Lex. You can leave the car in front of Flanagan's. That's the center of town.
Well, that place looks as if it's about to fall into the street.
Well, it's pretty old. Look, there's the Silver Queen Saloon.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think these old ghost towns are romantic, Lex?
Looks like a slum clearance area.
Oh, but wait till you see inside the hotel.
I'll pull over here. Oh, I'm going to kill my tires. I know it. Oh.
Well, come on. Let's have a look at Flanagan's.
Do we have to?
Well, of course. That's what we came here for.
We did? Okay, then, just for a few minutes. Let's go.
This way. Come on. Well, come on, Les.
Okay. I'm right behind you. Ah, so this is the notorious Flanagan.
Uh-huh. There's the desk over there, see? And that's
what was that?
What?
Over there.
Only a rat.
Only a rat? Don't you mind rats?
Oh, silly. Come on, let's go over to the stairs.
Everything's covered in dust and cobwebs.
Oh, just think what it must have been like. Ladies in long gowns, furbelows and picture hats. Rich silver miners and gamblers.
Outlaws and horse thieves.
Yes.
And...
I used to walk up and down this very staircase. Oh, mind what? That step. It's rotten.
Oh, this place should have been pulled down years ago. This is a death trap.
Oh, we should get a wonderful view of the whole town from upstairs. This way. We can get out on the balcony overlooking the street.
I'm coming.
There's a door onto the balcony just ahead.
Falling off its hinges.
Help! Help! Quickly!
Lex, that was Dickie's voice.
Well, what's he doing here?
Help!
He's out on the balcony.
Young idiot.
Help! Help! Quickly!
Well, go on, Lex. The wood must have given way. He'll fall and kill himself. Hurry, go and help. Lex, where are you going?
I'll get help from town. A ladder or something.
Help!
All right, Dickie, I'm coming. Hang on, Dickie.
Hey, Sis. No, get back, Sis. The wood's all right where I am, honest. But you'll go through.
Hang on.
I was only fooling. You mustn't... Oh, Sis, it's all right, Sis. Hang on
under the railing. George is on the roof next door. Now, George, now!
Yeah, I'm coming.
Sis, I was only kidding. George, quickly, jump George, across from the other roof.
Please.
Jump!
Well, here I come.
Maybe.
I can't hold on much longer.
Here, Francis, now let go one hand and grab mine.
I can't reach it.
Be not further, George.
All right, wait a minute. All right, now there. There, take my hand. Quickly now.
I can't quite.
There. Up now. Up. Wait a minute. Up.
There. All right, now. Now we find a safe bit where you can stand. Easy now. That's it.
George. George.
Gee, sis. We didn't mean to happen like this. Honest, we didn't. I just thought Mr. Vail would run away when he saw me in trouble. And then George was to come in and rescue me. I didn't want you to be in on it.
Hey, there goes Vail now. In his car.
Yeah, I can see him. Never mind how it happened, Dickie. I'm just glad that it did, that's all. Oh, for him to leave us here and run out like that.
Sis, George brought his jalopy along.
Good. Then let's go home.
So the plan worked. We smoked out that big old badger, Lexington Vale. When I told him at home about the phone call, they believed me. And that evening, back at the house, we were all on the porch. George, Sis, and me.
Oh, my feet are killing me, Francis. Do you mind if I take off my boots?
Be comfortable, George. Take them off.
It's a bit warm for this old jacket of mine.
Hang it on the back of the chair, George.
Thanks. You wish I'd thought to shave today.
Oh, it doesn't really matter.
Well, I guess I'll be getting inside. But after I got inside, I listened just for a minute behind the screen door.
Francis.
Yes, George?
There's something I've been meaning to ask you for some time now.
Yes, George?
Romance is produced and directed by Norman McDonald, with editorial supervision by Het Mannheim. You have heard The Smoking Out of Lexington Vale, specially written for Romance by Don Yarrow, starring Sammy Ogg as Dickie. Featured in the cast were John Daner, Eleanor Tannen, Paul Dubov, Dorothy Vaughan, and Ted Bliss. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to hear Romance, transcribed next week at this same time. Tonight, Gangbusters bring us the Snake River Getaway, the true story of bandits who shoot Utah's Snake River Rapids to make their escape from the law. But the law has patience and fortitude and a long memory, not to mention long arms. Hear the whole story. Hear CBS Radio's Gangbusters for the Snake River Getaway, tonight on most of these stations.
Gunsmoke is heard twice every Saturday on the CBS Radio Network.